chapter 1. Keep your Bibles open to Job, if you will. Job chapter 1, verse 7. Job chapter 1 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, and thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. That seventh verse. Devil, where have you come from? I've come from walking to and fro in the earth. Where were you going? This morning, as God helps me, I want to preach on the subject. The devil's gone house hunting. The devil's gone house hunting. You know something? The devil would love to get every one of our homes if he could. And some, sad to say, he may have today. The devil's not so much concerned, and I hope that you don't turn me off right in the beginning, because I know that some of this, we have to think it through, what God says in His Word. Have to think about it for a moment. The devil's not so concerned about the church. He's not so concerned about the schools. He's not so concerned about getting your workplace. Because really, if he can get the home, he's got it all. He wants the home and come against every home of every preacher in this land, of every deacon, of every elder, of every church leader, of every church member, of every child of God, of every person saved and unsaved. He'd love to get in the home. Now, he can't do anything to you as long as he's on the outside trying to get in. Did you know that the walls of Jerusalem, as old as that city is, the walls of Jerusalem has never fallen to an enemy from the outside. They have always had to figure out some way to get inside the city. In fact, the walls of the old city that's still standing, as many earthquakes as they've had, even an earthquake couldn't topple the walls. But you say, wait a minute, Jesus prophesied and said, when he looked at the walls around the city and the temple area and said, not one stone will be left on another. That's true. But how it happened was, the enemy got in through the gate. They always topple the walls by getting on the inside and shoving the walls out, because the walls were built so they could not tumble when the enemy attacked from the outside. So the enemy had to get inside. And the key to the home is the gate. You have a gate to your home, and the gate to your home is the gate to your heart. And as long as the enemy's on the outside, that's fine. But the only way the devil can do any damage to your heart and to your home alike is he has to get on the inside and shut out, to destroy from the inside out, what God wants to do for you. Really, you've only got two protections for your home. There's a practice in the Middle East. For those that's been to the Holy Land, they've seen them. They know what I'm talking about. I should have brought one with me this morning, a masseuse. A masseuse is a small metal tab about that long. It's probably about an inch and a half wide. Usually, They're made of bronze. They could be made of wood, other materials. But they'll place them on the doorpost of a house. They'll even place them, if you stay in a hotel that's owned by Jews in the Holy Land, they'll place them on the door of every hotel room. Inside of that is the scriptures out of Deuteronomy, where he said to post the word of God on the doorposts of their house, to teach them diligently to their children, to place the word of God on their head and on their hand. When they go inside their home, they kiss the mezuzah. On the outside of the mezuzah is the name of God. And then when they get ready to leave, they'll kiss the mezuzah again. Now the power is not in the fact that there is an object on there, and it's not idolatry. What they are saying is that the gate, the door, the gate to their home is protected by the scriptures, by the word of God. And folks, the day we take the scripture, the word of God, off the door of our homes and off the door of our heart, we allow the enemy to come in and to work from the inside out and destroy everything. What he wants to do. So the first power of protection you have is the scripture. Can I ask you something? What is the most powerful passage of scripture for protection against the devil? Do you know what it is? Tell them, John, what is it?
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord,
yes,
He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
Lord.
For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him, and shew him my salvation.
Glory to God. You say, preacher, how do you know that that's the most powerful passage of protection? What passage did the devil quote when he met Jesus? Jesus, every passage he quoted was out of the book of Deuteronomy. But the devil quoted the 91st Psalm to the Lord when he took him to the pinnacle. And he said, don't you know the scripture? You're supposed to be the living word of God. If you jump from this high place, don't you know the scripture says that the angel shall bear thee up, lest at any time, by the way, that's not what the scripture says. He added the at any time. That's not what it says in Psalm 91. But he quotes that to the Lord. You know the amazing part of it? The devil knows what to quote and what not to quote. He took the only part out of that passage of Scripture because he knew that if he could topple Psalm 91, that he could topple any home, any life. He knew he could overcome the mighty master. But see, the Lord knows all of it, not just part of it. And where the devil stopped, the next verse the Lord says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Wonder why he didn't quote that part of it. Because he knows what to use and what not to use. I'm telling you, there's power in the Word of God to protect our homes and to protect our families. And without that power, we're lost.
The first two verses of the 91st Psalm has four of the most powerful names for God in it. In the Hebrew it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of Elion shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of Jehovah, he is my refuge, my fortress, my Adonai and Elohim.
Glory, glory, glory. I'm saying the power is in God. This blessed book that I preach to you from today is not my word. It is the word of God. And at the command of the word of God, strength comes back into our bones and protection comes into our home. But we need to know what thus saith the Lord. Scriptures protect your home. In fact, I still believe God could put a hedge around you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hold on now. Now, folks, when God showed me this week while I was studying, I've been praying over this for several months. I've been praying over some passage scripture. There's a couple things that I never want to mislead you. It's not that it bothers me. It's not that it even troubles me. It's just some things I like to pray about it until God gives me understanding on it. Now, some of you are probably more intelligent than what I am, and you already knew this. If you already knew this, just act like it's the first time you ever heard it. Amen? Because even though I'd read it over and over again, I begin to question, what brought the hedge up? If there was a hedge there, Job evidently had found a source with God to bring a hedge up around his family. And I found out what it was. It's found in the 5th verse. The Bible says that he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. The number of who? The number of his family, his house. Oh, get ready, get ready, get ready. The hedge came up because of the sacrifice. He not only had the scriptures, he had the sacrifice. Now, let me prove to you why that brought the hedge up. When you read the book of Job, the trials of Job probably lasted for at least 9 or possibly 10 months. You read it and think it happened in a matter of days, but that's not so. It was 9 to 10 months that Job went through this trial. When the devil said to God, "Let me aim," what was the first two things that the devil took from Job? Family wasn't it. I said the same thing. I thought it was his family. You read in the last part of it, his family was the last. The first thing he took was his oxen. Now, I've read it close this week because I'd always preached, and I'm correcting to you today what I'd said. I always thought his family mentions they were gathered together, but it's not until later in the first chapter that they come with the report that the roof had fallen in and the family was killed. The first thing he took was his ox. And the second thing he took was his sheep. What was he doing with those oxen and sheep? Sacrificing them. The first thing he took was Job's sacrifices. Because he knew that if he could get rid of the sacrifices, Job couldn't get the hedge back up. Oh, glory. Are you getting this morning? He said, "I'm going to take the only thing that can protect his home." No longer could Job every morning get up and offer up a sacrifice for his household, because the devil said, "The first thing I want is I want his sacrifices." After he got the sacrifices, after that he'd taken the oxen, after he'd taken the sheep, then he took his family. That's the process. If the devil can get the sacrifice out of your home, then he'll take your family. Now, lest you think I've lost my mind, let me prove it to you from Scripture. Job 42, the last chapter of Job. Would you be kind enough to turn there? And I tell you, you better put on your hallelujah shoes, your glory shoes. I want to show you something. Look, if you will, in the 42nd chapter. God is speaking to one of the men that was supposedly a friend to Job. And he says to Eliphaz, "Go get your other two friends and go to Job." But look what he tells him to do in verse 8. "Therefore, take unto you now," what? "7 bullocks and 7 rams,
and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. In verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave him what? What? Twice as much as he had before. Now he says to Eliphaz, listen, go get your two friends, take seven bullocks and seven rams. Why did God tell him to take seven bullocks and seven rams? Because Job didn't have anything to sacrifice. For 9 to 10 months he's been sitting in the ashes of life, sitting with rent garments, sitting, scraping the boils that's on his flesh. He had no sacrifice to offer to God to bring the hedge back up. But God says, listen, you take the sacrifices to Job. I'm glad when we didn't have a sacrifice, God sent a sacrifice to us and for us. Oh, I feel preaching coming on. And the Bible says when Job prayed and offered up that sacrifice, that the smoke went back up into heaven, and then God turned again the captivity of Job, and he had twice as much as he had before. What happened? The sacrifice was given, the sacrifice was accepted, and the devil had to go. Thank God. And God blessed Job with twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning. Oh, glory. No longer 500 yoke of oxen, now he's got 1,000. God said, I'll treat you right, devil. I'll give him twice as much to sacrifice. No longer does he have 7,000 sheep, now he's got 14,000 sheep. Oh, glory, glory. But now comes the gold. Look, if you will, one other verse, verse 13. He had also, see verse 12 gives the number of all the sheep, the camels, the oxen, they're all back. Verse 13, he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. How many children did Job have that was killed in the house? 7 sons and 3 daughters. How many children does Job have in the end? 7 sons and 3 daughters. But wait a minute. You just read with me where God said, I'll give you twice as much. He got twice the number of oxen, twice the number of sheep, twice the number of donkeys, twice the number of camels, twice the number of houses. But he still had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now listen, folks. God's word, either you believe it or you don't believe it. And I'm driving down the highway the other day thinking about that. Now, God, you promised Job twice as much. When the sacrifice went up, you promised him twice as much. But now here he is with the same number of boys and the same number of girls. And about that time, after months of praying, the Holy Ghost hit me and said, Cal, think about it. Job had 7 boys in heaven and 7 boys on earth. Job had 3 daughters in heaven and 3 daughters on earth. Just because they died, they weren't gone. They were in the presence of God. God gave him exactly twice. I wish you'd shout or do something this morning. Thank God. I'm saying our loved ones don't die. They're not gone forever. They're in the presence of God Almighty. And even though we're left on this earth, thank God the sacrifice still stands. And God has turned the captivity around and bless us all because of the sacrifice. I have a preacher friend told me. He went down to North Carolina to preach. He's out of the old school like I am. He just shoots it out the way the Spirit gives it to him. They had a red hot revival going on. Church was packed out. Little old mother come forward, broken hearted. Weeping so much, she couldn't even stand at the altar. Just collapsed on the altar. He could tell her heart was broken. He came down out of the pulpit, walked over beside her and said, "Mama, what's the problem?" She said, "I haven't seen my boy, and I want to see my boy." Said, "I'd like to see my boy before the sun comes up." She said, "I've fasted and I've prayed and I haven't told anyone in the church." Said, "I'm so weak that I can't feel like I can't fast any longer. Said, I'd like to see my boy." He said, "Let's pray about it." He took her by the hand and started praying, and the power of God began to move. He says, "Oh, mama, mama, it's done." Said, "That boy's coming home." All of a sudden, that weakness turned to strength. And she started clapping her hands and shouting, saying, "Glory be to God. Before the sun comes up in the morning, my boy's coming home." She started walking the aisles and shouting. She went all around the church, hugging everybody's neck. "Oh, glory," she said, "tomorrow my boy's going to be home before the sun comes up in the morning." She just kept shouting, and folks finally got embarrassed. About 9:30, they started slipping out. Have you ever noticed that crowd that won't stay for all God's got? You can say amen right there. Amen. They always have something else better to do. But they just kept slipping out. About 10 o'clock, a few more slipped out. About 11 o'clock, a few more slipped out. By midnight, the only one that was left was the pastor and his wife and the evangelist. And the pastor said, "What did you say to her?" He said, "Well, I just told her that her boy was going to be home before the sun come up." And he said, "Man, what have you done?" Said, "That boy has been gone for 5 years. He got involved in a dope ring, and it's rumored that they shot him in the head and killed him and threw him in the swamp down south. There's no way that boy could be here." He said, "Listen, preacher, I'm just telling you, the Spirit bore my heart record. That boy's coming home." And he said, "Well, we're going to have to stay with her." He said, "You made the mess. You'll have to clean it up." So they went up and sat down the choir. The evangelist went down, laid down. He went over on the other side, put his head against the wall. They were dozing off. About the time they'd fall asleep, that old mama would pass by, smack her hands right in their ears and say, "Whoa, God says, my boy's coming home by in the morning." "I still believe it, preacher," she'd say to the evangelist. "You believe it, I believe it, mama." Oh, she kept going. 1:30 in the morning, walking the aisles, praising God. 2:30, nothing had happened. About 3:30 in the morning, there's a big bang on the back door of the church. They go thinking that the police is there. When they open the door, there stands a long-haired boy saying, "Mama, I've come home." He said, "I was 200 miles away at about 9 o'clock and said the power of God spoke to me and said, get home right now." When he was headed home, saw the lights on in the church and told the taxi driver, "Pull over right here." And he said, "When I stepped up to the front door, I heard Mama saying, my boys are coming home tonight." Oh, glory, glory, glory. I feel what I'm preaching this morning. Thank God the Lord has given us His Word, and God has given us a sacrifice, and God will raise up a hedge around our home. And when the devil comes house hunting, he'll say, "Don't go there. They've got the Word of God and the blood of Jesus, and he can't get in." Thank God for the promises of God. Oh, glory. Oh, I'm feeling it all over today.